All right. You can go ahead and keep standing and get your Bible. You can go ahead and stand there. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Brother Ray was very gracious last night to me and gave me plenty of time, and I want to do the same for him. So we're going to kind of jump right in. I do want to say thank you so much to Parkside Baptist Church for allowing me to come. Thank you for the nice room and the nice meals. Well, it has been tremendous. And I really do appreciate Dr. Mike Wells and his family. And boy, when this church called Brother Wells, you made a good decision. And I'm excited about what God is going to do at Parkside Baptist Church. I really mean that. 4,000 churches across America in 2007 closed their doors. 4,000. And it's just exciting to go to a place where the church is growing and it's exciting, and I praise the Lord for that. Appreciate this youth conference. Appreciate the youth pastors and the pastors that's brought your young people here. And so I know that they're going to receive a blessing, not only hearing Brother Ray, but then tomorrow night and then also Thursday. Has been an honor and a privilege to preach with Brother Mike Ray. As I said last night, I said again tonight, and he's one of my worst preacher friends. And you have to have thick skin to put up with all the abuse that he does to me. But Brother Ray, I want you to know this. Even though you abuse me and you're mean to me and make fun of me, I still love you. Ain't that good? Ain't that, you overcome evil with good? And so when people make fun of you and criticize you, Brother Ray, your hair looks good, your suit, and you're just a wonderful fellow. Ain't that good? Amen. I love Brother Mike Ray. I really do. He is a real, genuine friend. It's good to have his friend tonight, and I'll let him tell you about that. What an honor to see him here tonight. 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Once again, what an honor, what a privilege to be allowed to come back. Brother Carl Hatch said this, the greatest compliment you can give a preacher is to invite him back. That's a good compliment, okay? 2 Samuel, chapter 23, as I said last night, I got your flyer, saw the theme of your conference. Just love the theme. I think it's very timely, a very timely theme. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, look at verse 11. 2 Samuel 23, in verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Now, I know my title is not unique, but I want to preach on standing your ground. Look at the verse again, verse number 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. I love that. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for this great conference. Thank you for this church. What a wonderful host. And Lord, they really go out of their way to be an encouragement and a blessing. And Lord, we're looking forward tonight already for the Mike Ray. Lord, we pray that tonight you'd use him in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray for Brother Bachman tomorrow and Thursday. Of course, Brother Wells, the pastor here. And God, that you continue to do a work in the lives of these young people. Father, we sure do love you tonight. And Lord, I realize within inside of me, there's nothing I can do to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So, Father, if anything's going to happen that's going to affect eternity, Lord, it'll be by your Spirit. So, Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, I'll admit to you, I guess sometimes there's a part of us that would like to preach a good message. But, Lord, really, way more important than that, Lord, we'd like to see lives changed. So, Father, would you help us tonight? Would you meet with us? And Father, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say this, and I don't know if it'll come out right. I hope it does. But your conference is a little different than our conference, your youth conference. Your young people seem to be a little bit different than the young people that we kind of have that attend our conference. The young people that seems to come to our conference, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to be a little bit, maybe a little bit rougher around the edge. But I want to commend the young people here. You know, you respond very well. You pay very close attention to the preaching. I haven't noticed really anybody disconnected or goofing off or playing. And, you know, that's a very an encouragement to a preacher when he gets up and preaches. And, you know, you're paying attention. You're kind of locked in. And then the invitation is given. And, you know, I know I'm not the greatest preacher that's ever preached. And you get up and you come and you make me feel really good. And I really appreciate you doing that and responding to the preaching of the Word of God. So I just wanted to commend you young people tonight. Look back tonight here in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, 2 Samuel chapter number 11. The Bible says about Shammah, the Bible says, but he stood in the midst of the ground. Let me say first of all tonight, there was an enemy to fight. There was an enemy to fight. Look back at verse number 11. The Bible says, and the Philistines were gathered together unto a troop. Now, when you hear the word Philistine, okay, I don't know how your mind works, but when I hear about the Philistines, man, I instantly think about Goliath, the enemies of God. And so we see here that Shammah had an enemy to face. He had an enemy to fight. And can I say tonight that our enemies are real? Can I say tonight that our enemies are many? Can I say tonight that our enemies are very serious? And can I say tonight that our enemies are willing to sacrifice? Go with me, if you would, very quickly, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Shammah had an enemy to fight. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I think you know this, but I want you to see it in the Bible. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And look at verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. You know, we need to identify the enemy tonight. The enemy is not your parents. Your enemy, your parents love you. They're not your enemy. You know, your parents, some of them have sacrificed, and, you know, they probably helped you get to this conference. They probably helped pave your way, and I know some of you probably did some fundraisers, but you know, your parents are praying for you, and they love you, and they're hoping that God does something in your heart. Your parents are not your enemies. May I say tonight, your pastor is not your enemy. You know, your pastor loves you, and your pastor has allowed you to come to this conference. He's supported this conference, this host church. Brother Wells tonight, he loves you. And did you hear what he said last night? If I understood him right, or it was this morning, I think this conference cost somewhere around $26,000. You know, maybe you have that kind of money. I don't have that kind of money. We spend $20,000-something on our conference. You know, the host of a conference like this, I know you look around and you go, you know, where do you spend the money? You know, I got $10,000 of it in my love offering. I'm not very expensive, they have me. You know, I don't come cheap, okay? But, you know, it really does. It costs a lot of money to bring speakers in and put them in hotels and give them a love offering. And, you know, it costs it to host a conference. And this church hosts the conference because why? Because they love you. This preacher is not your enemy. Can I say tonight, your youth pastor is not your enemy tonight? Can I say your teacher is not your enemy tonight? Can I say the independent Baptist preacher across town, he's not your enemy? Well, I wish us as independent Baptists would learn that. You know, we fight each other to death. You know, can I identify the enemy tonight? Go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. I know I used this last night. But in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say tonight, we have an enemy to face and an enemy to fight. And the enemy is not your parents. The enemy is not your pastor. The enemy is not your youth pastor. It's not your teacher. The enemy is not the church across town. The enemy tonight is the devil. And can I say tonight, he is very serious. I'm telling you, the Bible says he knows that his time is short, and I don't believe the devil is wasting any time, but he is serious about what he is doing. Hey, we have an enemy to face. Number one, the devil's our enemy. Number two, the world. Go to John chapter number 15. I want you to see this. John chapter number 15. Not only is the devil our enemy, and man, there's a lot of enemies out there. And their enemies are very serious. Can I remind us tonight? You know, ISIS. You know, they're serious. They're willing to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up. They are very serious. Our enemies, they're serious. Look at the book of John, the Gospel of John. I was going to say John Mark, but I think somebody else got that gospel. Look at the Gospel of John. I'm not calling any names, nothing like that. I don't make fun of people when I preach. Look in John chapter 15, and look at verse number 18. The Bible says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You need to get this tonight. Listen, I believe we need to try to win the world. But you got to understand, the world hates the Christian. You say, what is going on in America? What is happening? The world hated Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Now, we don't need to hate them. We need to love them. We need to win them to Jesus Christ. Amen? But I just want you to understand, the devil's your enemy. The world's your enemy tonight. The world is not your friend. May I say tonight, matter of fact, the Bible says if you're in friendship with the world, you have enmity with God. That's pretty powerful. May I say quickly tonight, your flesh is your enemy. I really believe this. Now, I'm not looking for any theological debates tonight. But I believe if the devil was put in hell right now, I mean right this instant, I mean literally while I'm preaching, if God just grabbed him and said, you know, I'm going to give a head start on this thing and just throw him in hell, I don't believe we'd know it. Most of us in this room would not even know that he was there. Why? Because your flesh is wicked. You would still have some struggles and problems in the Christian life. Why? Because you still have that old nature. I'm glad when I got saved, I got a new nature, but that old nature is still there. You know, the biggest battle I probably have more than the devil and more than the world is the person I deal with. That's me. Are y'all still with me tonight? There was an enemy to fight. May I say number two, there was a cause to have. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. So number one, Shema had an enemy. It was the Philistines, okay? The Bible says, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. That means a body or a company of soldiers. There was many of them and one of him. Now look what it says very quickly here in verse number 11. It says, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. I don't know exactly how this took place, but here is a body of Philistines, a company, we use the word troop, and so we don't know exactly how many that was. It might have been, you know, as many as 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. We know one of David's mighty men killed 800 by himself. And we know there was this piece of ground, and all of a sudden these enemies showed up, the Philistines, and here is Shema. He is on this piece of ground as well, and the Bible says that there were some lentils. Now, I believe that's something like a bean. We would call it peas in the South. Are you still with me? And I'm thinking, man, there must have been some good beans. I'm out of here. But you know, for a soldier, food is very vital. Are you listening to me? Food is very vital. I mean, if you go to war, if the soldier runs out of food, they'll lose the battle. You cannot stay out there on the battlefield without water and food. So these people that are supplying the food to the soldiers tonight, I mean, they are very vital. They are very important. And so here was some food. Here was a piece of ground that the enemies came on the ground. And here was Shema. And the Bible says that he stood his ground. Why? Because he had a cause. We all know the famous phrase, is there not a cause? Listen, young people, you have a cause to stand. I'm going to give it to you. Number one, the first cause is Jesus Christ. You know, we ought to stand for the cause of Christ. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus volunteered. Jesus left heaven because he loved me and you. Jesus stepped inside of the womb of a virgin girl. Jesus stayed there for 9 months. And my friend, and there was birth given to the Son of God who was God in the flesh. Jesus lived 33 and a half years. He never sinned. He never said the wrong word. He never did the wrong thing. He never had the wrong thought. After the end of those 33 years, my friend, they did not take his life. He said, no man takes my life. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to pick it back up. You could have never killed God. You could have never killed God. He knew how many hairs on the head of everybody that was there that day. He knew how many times everybody's heart had that beat. Are y'all still with me? The cause of Christ. He died for you because he loved you. He was put in a borrowed tomb. The third day he rose again. He was here on planet Earth for 40 days. He ascended back to heaven. And by the way, he's coming again. This thing ain't over. Are y'all still in the night? Hey, we have a cause to stand our ground. Number two, the souls of man. The Bible says, what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Have you ever just stopped and thought about how much would it cost? How much money would I have to have, preacher, if I bought all the property in Texas? I just bought the whole state. How much money would I have to have? What if after I bought Texas, I went and bought California? Now, Mississippi, you may could get it pretty cheap. I'm from Mississippi, I can say that. No, we got some pretty expensive real estate in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast. It's beautiful. And there's a lot available since Katrina. Are y'all still with me? How much money would it cost to buy the United States of America? How much money would it take to buy all of Canada? And then all of South America? And then begin to move to Europe and Asia, and the Russia and China, the Philippines. How much would it be to buy all the real estate and then buy all the minerals, all the gold and all the silver? And then buy all the buildings, all the skyscrapers, all the church buildings. And then all the diamonds. And then all the furniture in all the buildings. And then all the clothes that are on all the people. And then all the shoes that are on all the people. And then all the vehicles and all the trucks. The Bible says that one soul, get it now. I don't think we really comprehend this. But my friend, one soul is worth more than the whole world. Just one. Somebody said if you took the world and all of its possessions and put them over here, and you took the soul of man and put it over here, God would choose the soul of man. But somebody said this, if you took the Son of God and put him over here, you put the soul of man over here, God chose the soul of man. The soul of man was so valuable that God purchased it with the blood of his own son. He let his own son go to the cross. Are y'all still with me? I'm talking about there's a cause to stand our ground. The souls of man. Hey, how about this? And this is where my burden has been. How about the condition of our nation? When you got the news and I got the news of the Supreme Court decision, I want to say, preacher, I was surprised. I want to say I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised. And man, something seemed to happen. When I heard that, I kind of thought that's what would happen. But I thought, man, we're in trouble. And young people, I'm thinking about this tonight. If the condition of our nation is where it is tonight, they say within 10 to 15 years, it's going to be just as common as drinking water to go into a store and see a man with a man that's married and a woman with a woman. I wonder, what are these young people here tonight are going to face? What are you going to have to stand against? Young people, listen, when you leave here Thursday night, if something really hasn't happened inside of your heart, I'm telling you, I'll pray that God will do a work in your life tonight and in your heart. Why? Because of the condition of our nation. We have never needed young people to stand more than now. And that's why I got so excited about your theme. I thought, I know your theme was already out before that had happened. But I thought, how appropriate. Young people, we need you. I'm pleading with you tonight. We need you to step up. I don't preach out a whole lot, but I preach out enough to realize that a lot of our adults, you know, many of them, they're not really interested in revival. But I think there's maybe a group of young people in this room tonight. Maybe this is the place that there'll be some young people to say, "All right, preacher, I'll stand for Jesus Christ. You can count me in." Our nation needs you tonight. Our nation needs you. This is why you ought to stand. Why? Because of the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says one day we're all going to give an account. And why should we stand? Why? Because of the great white throne. For whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's many reasons why we ought to stand. So he had an enemy to face. Are you listening tonight? He had a cause to stand. And then number three, quickly, there was a trial to endure. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look at it. Look at it in verse 11. The Bible says, "And the Philistines were gathered into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood." So here's a troop, a company of Philistines show up. I don't know how many they are. I looked the word up, troop, and you know, but it doesn't give a number. I don't know exactly how many it was. Maybe 100, 200, 500, 600. And all of a sudden, there's all these Philistines, and here is Shammah. He's standing, and there's some other guys with him. All of a sudden, Shammah pulls out his sword and says, "You ain't getting this pea patch." And he said, "Y'all ready, boys?" And he's looking around and he said, "Are y'all ready, boys?" They're all running the other way. There was nobody left but him. But he stood by himself. Are you with me tonight? But he stood. There was a trial to endure. He was forsaken and he had to stand alone. He had to stand all by himself. Go to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this. There's a lot of verses, but I must hasten. Go to 2 Timothy. I'm just going to give you this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, very quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 16. Paul writes, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." That was Paul the apostle. I know it's true because it's in the Bible, but I'm like, where's all those people at? Where's all these people he led to the Lord? All those churches? I mean, there ain't nobody to stand with Paul the apostle? You gotta be kidding. By the way, he kept a good spirit. Amen? He said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 56, it says this, "And all the disciples forsook him." And then on the cross he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, one of the biggest trials you'll face in your life is when you're trying to stand for what is right, but nobody else really is standing with you in the youth department. You'll go home and you'll be all excited and you say, man, God did a work in my heart and I'm going to stand. And somebody else says, I'm going to stand. And somebody else says, I'm going to stand. And it's like the whole youth group and man, we're all going to stand together. But all of a sudden, this one falls and leaves and this one falls and leaves and this one falls and leaves. Can I encourage you tonight? If you have to stand by yourself, then stand by yourself. I thank God I got good preacher friends. That I think if I go to jail, they'll be with me. Well, at least some of them will. I'm not going to call about some of them. I think some of my friends would bring me some bread and water. Not all of them would. I'm not calling any names. But I believe most would. Amen. You know, it's a hard thing to stand by yourself. It's easy for me to preach here and stand and got men that love God and they're with me. You know, in a conference like this, and people respond and amen and smile and laugh. But sometimes on the job, there's nobody there to stand with you. Sometimes there in the school, there's nobody there to stand with you. Sometimes at home, there's nobody to stand with you. But here's a young man. Here's a man by the name of Shema. And my friend, all of a sudden, this one leaves and that one leaves and this one leaves and that one leaves. And my friend, he's all by himself, but he stays. Amen. And then lastly, watch this. I love this. I love it. I'm just going to get excited. Look at verse number 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. I love it. And the Lord wrought a great victory. There was a victory to be won. Number one, there was an enemy to fight. There was a cause to have. There was a trial to endure. He had to stand by himself. And there was a victory to be won. Could y'all help me? Y'all have your hymn book out there? Could you look at Victory in Jesus? Could you tell me where that is?
Three forty-one.
Get your hymn book. Just real quick now. I got to hurry, folks. I got to go real quick. Brother Ray was gracious, and I want to be gracious. But look at 3:3. Will you say 3:41? 3:41. But everybody get that? Look on with somebody. Can you just lead us in a verse? Look at, the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. See, you missed it. It wasn't your fault. It was my fault. It didn't say Shema. That he had a great victory. It said the Lord had a great victory.
Amen.
Now here's the message, and I got to give it to you quick. There is victory in Jesus. You can stay in your ground, but you're going to have to do it in Jesus. Okay? 3:41, just one verse, just real quick, lead us in that. I'm going to get over here and take a drink of water and take a break. Just go right ahead.
Old story.
Sing it like you mean it. Here we go. I love this. Think about it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Love me, I knew him and all my love is. Launch me to victory beneath a cleansing flood.
Good job. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, real quick. 2 Corinthians, I got to give you the message. That's the introduction. I got four quick points. That all right? Y'all looking at me funny. But there'd be real, I said quick, everybody relax. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. No matter how bad your home life is, you can have victory. You can stand your ground. No matter how bad your home life is, you can have victory. If you grew up in a Christian home, you ought to thank God for it. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a drunk. And I got 5 older sisters, 3 other brothers. I'm the baby. My dad couldn't read or write. Nobody in my family went to church. I never heard the word saved or born again until I was nearly 15 years old. I remember one night my mother calling me about 2 o'clock in the morning. She says, son, she said, your dad just left the house with a shotgun. He's headed to the bar, and I'm afraid he's going to kill everybody in it. She said, I don't know what you can do, but he's headed to that place. Jumped in my car, drove there just as quick as I could. When I pulled up at the bar, this was about 2:30 in the morning, he had already blown all the windows out. I had no idea if everybody in there was dead. I had no idea. He was sitting in his truck. I pulled up beside him. He looked over at me. I looked at him. I had no idea what to do. He crunked his truck up and began to leave. I began to follow him. I probably should have went inside. I just didn't know what to do. And so I began to follow him. Then all of a sudden, a police car came from one way. One came around me and got between me and my dad in the truck. My dad pulled over. And when he pulled over, I pulled over. The cop cars pulled over. They jumped out with their guns, doors open, guns drew. I jumped out of my car. I began to run toward where they were and where my dad was. That police officer had his gun. He turned around and said, stop! I stopped dead still. I began to scream at my dad, Dad! They got guns, they ain't playing. You better come up with your hands up or they're going to shoot you. I knew he was half drunk. I had no idea what he'd do. He came out of that truck, he had his hands up. They ran over there real quick. Those police officers, they handcuffed him. They took him over to the police car. They slung him in the back of the police car, slammed the door. And that police officer walked over to me and he looked at me and he stuck his finger in my place. He said, I have no idea who you are, but if you had anything in your hand, I'd have shot you dead. Normally, I'd get out with my Bible. I didn't get out with my Bible. I said, if you'd have shot me and killed me, I'd have went straight to heaven. But if you'd have shot my dad, he'd have went to hell. Man, he looked at me and shook his head and walked off. I just said that I could tell you stories after stories. That's one. It don't matter what kind of home life you come from, you can have victory in Jesus. Amen. I only tell you that to say, God has worked in my life. God can work in your life. No matter how bad your church is, I think about Samuel grew up with Eli's boys who were not saved, by the way, who knew not the Lord. Hey, you may not come from a church like this that's exciting and growing. But you can have victory no matter how bad your church is, no matter how bad your community is. Hey, Noah was the only one who found grace in the sight of God. No matter how bad the country is, no matter how bad the world is, listen to me, you can stand your ground in Jesus Christ. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The Lord gave him victory. The Lord can give you victory. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.